You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Danny, we all want our local teams to make the best decisions for their future. Don't forget to do the same for yourself. The exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you, kmlawyers.com. We'll get you a discount. You mention us. So we're doing this new show streaming thing where we've got cameras. They're on us. We got bright lights, high definition. We're superstars.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the deal.
It's like Pat McAfee on ESPN with like all those guys cursing all the time, and then it's us. It's like very similar
kind of
levels of people watching. Yep. And the point of the dude's story is, we have these two cameras, which are apparently way more high tech than I thought. Like they spared no expense with these.
You know, they spared some expense. Well,
as I was saying it, I
mean, they think some expense was spared.
I didn't even mean this as a joke. No, I just feel bad. They're doing something good.
No, okay. Yeah, they do.
Danny, Grant's talking.
The show is streaming on video.
Yeah.
We want you to listen with your old school radio and the antenna in the garage while you get grease on your hands. We want you to listen in the car when you're driving. We want you to stream with your phone, but it's just another way. If you're sitting at your house, you can put YouTube on your smart TV. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Instead of sitting there with Alexa, if you want, you could watch us on video, whatever. The point of the dude's story is that they got these cameras for us, these little guys that we attach onto the top of a computer. And what I was going to say was they're apparently like really good cameras because they have AI technology. There's some technology in these things. That's petrifying. That wherever I go, it follows me.
It does follow you.
So we have no real staff to like. Darius is just doing like six people's jobs, and there are video people with Odyssey that Jason and his crew that help us a lot. Mm-hmm. Like there's not like some control room where a director's running this thing. Like camera two, Danny. Camera three, Grant. So it's
It's not like the hub when a play gets challenged and there's like 1,000 TVs and people are just sort of
pouring over. Dino ain't sitting in here.
It ain't that one.
But. What's amazing about these cameras is if I go down to pick up like a wire, it follows me to my book bag.
Here, let me look.
So when Danny walks out the room or I walk out the room, the camera will follow us to wherever we're going. Although like it can't follow us to the bathroom, luckily, because it's attached to the
computer. It's stuck, thank goodness.
But they'll just like swivel all the way to the door. So somehow I just sat down and Darius gets in my ear as I start doing the Condori and Murad read. And he's like, both the cameras are on you right now. Can you turn one to Danny, please? Like as if I like was like, Danny doesn't need this. I need two.
Yeah, Grant needs a double shot.
Exactly. So I don't know, man. The technology is crazy. That's cool.
It is nuts.
And that's amazing. And that's what I was trying to give credit for was whoever bought the cameras got the good ones. Because they apparently follow us around. So good job on these cameras. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. And I got you. Why are you laughing?
Well, yeah, they do.
Danny, would you shut up?
The whole thing. Yeah, we were doing a cute little fun little thing, and you had to zing it. And now everyone, you know.
Everyone knows. No.
Here we go.
Shut up, Al. No, they actually are legit. I'm old enough to remember. Okay, this is the I'm old enough to remember portion of the program where I'm older than everybody that's here. If you wanted to videotape something, you needed to walk around with a giant thing that would hurt your arm and shoulder.
Held one of those.
And that cassette was as big as your head.
Yeah.
That went in there. And you could videotape like your daughter's dance recital for 11 minutes before you had like a Charlie horse in your neck.
Can I get game show music? I want like whatever you got, really. All right, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Name events where you have seen someone in your life holding one of those cameras.
You ready?
We'll go back and forth. I'll start. Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
No.
You don't remember that when you're a little kid watching and all the Major League players have them and they're like in the early mid-90s.
Oh, you're talking about little camcorders.
I'm talking about
like the big ones on your shoulder?
Yeah. Like 1994 All-Star Game at Coors Field or whatever. You go back and watch the videos and you see like, I don't know, Larry Walker's got one and he's like, this is Cal Ripken Jr., meet my son.
You're talking about a lot sleeker than I'm talking about. Like those are refined and pared down compared to the beasts I'm talking about. That's like holding a kid over your shoulder. Christmas present opening. Dad standing there with a giant video recorder at the door while the kids show it to the camera.
I'm going to go back to the well. I think you may have referenced this. A school graduation.
Bar mitzvah.
Have I ever seen youth sports game?
Oh,
I remember when I was.
That was my next one. Yep.
Probably Byron's age.
Mm-hmm.
Like young soccer.
Yep.
Probably either Mr. McCardell. Or maybe
Keenan was your coach? That's ridiculous.
Chucky stepdad, one of the two.
Uh-huh.
Like they would be out there with the camcorder for sure.
Keenan McCardell was your youth coach. That's a big deal. You should have mentioned that. You always mentioned Crystal Ball, but you never mentioned Keenan McCardell.
I don't remember Mr. McCardell's name. I remember Mrs. McCardell more.
Keenan?
Wasn't Keenan?
No. Okay.
Not related.
So you covered all youth sports because here's what I had.
I'm
swim meet,
out,
little
way.
League, basketball games, elementary school graduations. All I'll say graduation ceremonies. Huge one.
You win. I don't think I've ever seen. You also were around for a longer era.
This is my point. Yeah. So the 80s when it was like you knew a rich family and they had a video cassette recorder. It's to that era. Like they were the first ones to get cable. They had the nice car, and they had the thing that could record stuff that they would never watch again.
Manoj in Brooklyn's been waiting patiently, wants to talk about the rookie class for the Commanders and who he's sold on overachieving. What's up, Manoj?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, buddy.
I think the answer to the question is Ben Sinnott. I think that's one of the options, right? You guys took
yes, sir.
Away the first
yeah,
two picks.
Yeah, so for people just getting in their cars, the question was of the non-top two that went in the top 36 of the other, you know, picks 50 and lower, which selections for Washington, which of them do you think is going to have the best career? So you're going with Sinnott, the tight end, H-back.
Yeah, definitely. I think, first off, if you look at who we have on our team, it's Ertz and Bates, right? And I'm confident Ertz won't last the entire season, so I'm sure this guy will get opportunities pretty early. And then him as an athlete, like all these, the like RS score or whatever, he tested really high. His tape is so clearly like Chris Cooley. He can catch. He's so versatile with Cliff Kingsbury. And I'm sure Adam Peters is like probably just saying, hey, make this guy the next Kittle and use a check. Combination there. So I just see him putting up numbers this year and then just like Cooley kind of making a serious impact in his second, third, and fourth years.
Echoing what I think, buddy. I'm all in with you.
Peters, when he made that phone call, told him, he's like, hey, you remind me of George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk, which is a pretty big thing to say to a kid.
Uh-huh.
That tells you a lot about how hyped Peters is. This was the call after they drafted Sinnott, who's going to be on the show tomorrow. At 4:30.
Hello?
Hey, is this Ben?
Yep.
Ben, it's Adam Peters with the Commanders. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. How you doing?
Doing great, man. You know why?
Why's that?
We're about to pick the bad right now.
Let's do it, man.
I love the way you play. Love it. The way you block, the way you finish. And you got so much more in you. You remind me of a couple of guys I used to be with in San Francisco. And George and Juice, and I think you could just like those guys, man. I have a ton of belief in you. I can't wait to see you play for us.
I'll be giddy.
I mean, can you imagine?
If he turns out to be anything like either of those two guys. mostly as football players, but also Kittle's like a hilarious personality and an awesome dude. That would be good to have him on the show occasionally. And if he's like Juszczyk, that means his wife designs like awesome clothes. She's always like designing cool jackets and things that players wear. Taylor Swift is like wearing to go see Travis Kelce play. So that'd be kind of cool to have a player's wife here in town who is the lead designer of merchandise for the National Football League.
So get on that, Ben Sinnott. I mean, to me, the allure is, whether you want to call it a Cooley type, a Juszczyk type, Kittle type, whatever, it's that versatility. It's the thing that I covet, right? Rob Gronkowski gave it to you in a different form, and he was just raw strength, brute power, and the like, but could knock people around, could block defensive ends, could also get open and rumble. I've coveted that for so long.
G&D on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. Remember, the Nats don't play till late. We will get you ready for their game in just a few minutes. I did want to hit real quick on the Zach Ertz idea that he brought up. What should our expectations for Ertz be this year? They signed him. They bring him in. He is their number one on the depth chart, presumably, if he's healthy at the start of the year. He was actually productive. He got over 6 targets per game last year in Arizona. He caught about 4 passes per game. If you actually do some of the math, he was on his way to having a decent year, about 26 yards per game. If he played every game, sub 500 yards, nothing good about that. But the catch total, yards per catch, way down, sub 7. In most of his career, it's been 10, 11 yards per catch. But he was on his way to, quick math here, 65 catches in a year where he only played 7 games. I don't think he stays healthy either, but are we sure he can't help them? At 33 years old, he can't be pretty good?
So I think he'll help them in the sense that he'll play some. I do not expect a major role.
Okay, but over under last year, he had 27 catches.
Assuming more than 7 games, I'll say over.
Same.
But I think it's under 47.
From where'd 47
his 10 games from the year before,
okay,
in Arizona.
So that's a bet. So let's use that. So 47 for 406 the year before. You got unders?
I'm under that.
I'd have to know, I guess, how many games he plays. But if he plays 14, 15 games, I would take the over on both of those.
Then I would, too. I mean, you get 3 receptions a game, you beat that.
Okay, yeah. So you're just not counting on him staying healthy at all.
Right. I think that's all part of the Zach Ertz experience now.
The last time he stayed healthy for a full season was 2021. Before that, 2018. And in 21, he played with 3 teams. Maybe it was 2 teams, but Arizona and Philly, right?
Yeah, so combined, good year. 74 catches,
totally.
763 yards. So not, you know, working down the field like he used to
that
in Philadelphia.
Logan Thomas's great year here that everyone raved about was 70 for 700. Like, that'd be awesome if he did that. He's not going to do that, but I think that's legit. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't peak of his powers when he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. I think he probably goes, I'll say, 12 games, and I think he catches like 57 passes for 513 yards, like 9 yards a catch.
I would be thrilled with that. To me, this is more of a, hey, Zach Ertz is up this week and catches a couple balls and we notice it. And then, you know, we have zeros in the game log for a little while. I just don't think he's going to be featured. I think they got him as a culture-building, placeholder, good dude who kind of knows Kingsbury and can help kind of implement in the room. But I don't see him having a major impact.
The way that he doesn't get to those numbers, number one would be health.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is if Sinnott's just that good, that all of a sudden you go, why would I throw to Zach Ertz when I could just throw to Sinnott?
Yep.
And maybe he will be right away. I mean, that's very possible. The other position that I'm really curious about, we talked about it earlier today a little bit, is corner and safety in the secondary. So you look at corner, you agree with me that Sanders still starts in the slot immediately?
From the looks of it, I'd say, right?
All right, so you're going to have St. Just as your corner one. Who starts on the other side? Probably Forbes. And then what's the rest of that depth chart look like at cornerback with, they signed a few guys that to me are like, they may make the team, they may not, whatever. Noah Igbinoghene, James Pierre. They have Christian Holmes, his former 7th round pick. Tariq Castro-Fields has played a bunch. Michael Davis from the Chargers.
Yeah.
My guess is you got Forbes, St. Just, San Ristil on the field more than anybody else. And then the rest of the corners are led by Michael Davis of the Chargers. And maybe Holmes beats out those other guys. I mean, Igbinoghene was a first-round pick and is familiar with Quinn from Dallas. So maybe that gives him a leg up.
UT gives him the edge. I think the guys that they acquired, your radar goes up there. They're throwing bodies at the problem, right? There's no stars. I don't think the corner market, I think, was a lot like the tackle market. It wasn't as if a bunch of guys are changing teams. So they didn't overpay for anybody. But familiarity with the system, you mentioned Igbinoghene. I think a couple of these other guys, whether it's Davis or, you know, Pierre from Pittsburgh, that's one of those guys that they brought in because, like, this regime putting their stamp on it, I bet you those guys end up as you know, a little higher up the depth chart.
Safety position, and this is where I'm filing Quan Martin, even though he's a nickel. I didn't mention him in the corner combo. He's obviously going to make the team. But safety pretty loaded here. Derek Forrest, Jeremy Chinn starting, Percy Butler, Dominique Hampton, Quan Martin, Jeremy Reeves. That's six guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're not keeping six safeties, probably. So I guess it's very possible that Hampton maybe ends up on the practice squad, the fifth round pick. But Reeves is a special teams ace. You wouldn't think he goes anywhere. You could have a surprise cut, maybe, with somebody, you know, somewhere else. But Forrest is starting. Chinn is starting. You signed him. If Butler makes the team, and Hampton might be kind of your version of the last regime's Butler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's six safeties. You probably can't have 11 DBs.
There you go, right?
So you probably have five corners and five safeties.
And so, and because you've got someone like Martin that can do a couple different things, I don't think it is anything great, but there's that versatility, which you like. You almost have him. He's a backup nickel and the third safety or fourth safety, for example.
Maybe you could that keep helps four you. Corners
yeah.
and six safeties. Like if you kept Sanra still, Davis, St. Just, and Forbes as your corners,
mm-hmm.
and then you counted Martin as the sixth safety, and now you feel like you've got some guys. That
right, because he's
corner.
Like a 4.5 corner, 5.5 safeties almost, right? Because if you have Martin splitting between the two.
They do. I will give him this. And to their credit, when you sign 800 players, this happens. They're going to have a lot of competition at the back of the roster.
Like you need that.
Like as you're going through this, and today's not the day necessarily to have to make all the decisions on April 30th, but in a way that has not been the case all that frequently in the past, it is hard to figure out, just sitting here today, who are your corners, who are your safeties, like what positions are going to be the tougher. I think you got decisions everywhere right now. So I give them credit for that. Because they did throw a lot of assets at these problems. They went quantity over quality. I don't know that any of the corners they brought in, as an example, are any good. But if one or two of them
maybe
make
somebody
the team,
emerges,
exactly.
right? That's the idea. Did the same thing with the defensive line, honestly. After Allen and Payne, who we know, that's Sharpie. Everything else, I guess maybe Dorrance Armstrong, but the competition at the opposite defensive end. You added a bunch of names to a pretty crowded room, whether it's Dante Fowler, F.A. Obado, who I think is back. Now you add in Johnny Newton. We haven't even mentioned John Ridgeway yet, or Fredarian Mathis, who was a second-round draft pick a couple years ago. There are names there. I mean, or there are bodies there, certainly, where you're going to have competition behind the guys that we know.
All right, it is time on Grant and Danny to look at what else happened in D.C. sports today before we get out of here. So let's get it started with T.J. Oshie meeting the media, talking about his future with the Capitals.
In your mind, you're playing next year.
In my mind, I mean, it would be hard for me to ever for sure say that that I'm stepping away from the game. So, you know, I'd love to play next year, but it will need to be, mm-hmm. I will need to come back mm-hmm. with somewhat of a guarantee that my back won't be, you know, it's hard putting everyone through this, yeah. this situation yeah. from my family at home to the team trying to figure out a lineup to young guys getting called up and going down. So I'd like to find an answer and a fix to the problem before I make another run at it.
16 years in the NHL, going back to 2008 for T.J. Oshie. Made his debut in St. Louis with 57 games played that year. Oshie, 1,010 games, has gotten to a point where basically, it's a week or two on the ice and a week or two off the ice. And in addition to how grueling and frustrating that must be for him and how maddening as a competitor that's got to be, as you heard him say there, it's an uncomfortable position for his family watching him leave the ice writhing in pain. You got kids that are getting older now, understand what's going on. That can't be easy. I think about that kind of stuff in a way now as a father that I didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going home and your kids being emotional, I'm sure, and how you feeling, Dad? What happened? On top of that, he mentioned this, and this is the kind of team guy he is. I haven't even thought about this, but when you're talking about having to call guys up.
The logistics are awful.
Send guys down and the team not knowing when you're going to be available. It's gotten old for him. But nobody thinks he's actually ever going to say the word retire. And he didn't there, but he certainly left open the possibility that he played his final game, which is, in my opinion, a very real, legitimate conversation here. Mm-hmm. And if we do have Brian McClellan on tomorrow, it sounds like we might have him on right around 3 o'clock. It's obviously something that'll come up.
For sure. I mean, the way you made it sound to me is a condition of me playing again is my back being right. That's a pretty tall order, right? I mean,
for a part of your body that hasn't been right in a while.
Yeah, put it that way. This unlikely thing is going to have to happen, and I'm going to have to know that whatever I just went through is not happening again. If that condition's met, you'll see me at training camp.
I'll run
be there.
The marathon again if I can get through it without having any issues. That's hard to forecast.
Isn't that hard to do?
I mean, that's pretty telling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Answering it without answering it. I hope I'm wrong, but I do want to hang a 77 from the rafters. I think that's important. Heart and soul of this era's Capitals. Really, I would say the second window of the 15 to 17-year Rock the Red era, Oshie was the glue guy of that group. There were others in the first wave.
Sure.
He wasn't there when they first made the playoffs with Bruce Boudreau, mm-hmm. the Young Guns, Mike Green, and Alex Semin, and all those guys. He came later. And this group, this Oshie, Carlson, Wilson, Ovechkin, Backstrom, that second tier, he was the closest thing you had to not the face, which Ovi was, but the heart of the whole thing.
Indeed. Yeah, like there were previous glue guys, right? The Mike Knubels of the world for that earlier run that you kind of referenced and mentioned. And there have been a number of those guys. Hockey's, you know, rife with them, frankly. I mean, you've got lines that are dedicated to hitting and playing defense, right? When you come, you're always going to find those gritty guys that will do everything. But Oshie really was the jack of all trades for this group, right? So do you need a shot block to this shift? Do you need a big hit this shift? Do you need a turnover in the defensive zone, et cetera? I mean, always doing the right thing for the team.
From the Caps, who just got swept by the Rangers, will not be playing Game 5 tonight.
Nope.
There isn't one to be played. To the Nats, who just swept the Marlins, looking for 5 in a row as they hit the road in Texas this evening. Presented by the Window Man, here are your Nats starting lineups and your pitching matchup. Since 1989, the Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free, no-pressure, in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Betting for a shortstop seat. Abrams batting second in left field. Jesse Winker batting third at first base. Joey Meneses still looking for that first homer. Cleanup spot.
By the way, and we're up to 125 at-bats. If you go back to last year, that is like a quarter of a big league season without a home run for your DH first baseman.
Same number of home runs as this radio show. Luis Garcia, cleanup spot, playing second base. Cabrera Ruiz doing the catching, hitting fifth. Nick Senzel is your DH. He's got 5 bolts. A whole bunch since he's come back from injury. Eddie Rosario is in right field. Trey Lipscomb's at third base. And your guy, my guy, Jacob Young in center field, all behind Mackenzie Gore.
C.J. Abrams has reached base safely in a career-high 15 games, has a .414 on-base percentage, hit safely in 14 of those 15 games. Among NL shortstops, Abrams leading right now in triples, second in slug, OPS, home runs. Mookie Betts is the leader in all those categories. Really amazing, the start to the season for C.J. Abrams. That is your Nats lineup. The pitching matchup, Mackenzie Gore taking on Jonathan Gray. Gore, the former top 5 pick, just like Gray, has thrown the ball well. He had one outing he probably wants back, or else his ERA would be below 2 or 2.5 at this point. Instead, it's 3.1, but 31 strikeouts, 26 innings for the power lefty, who looks like he's on the verge of this being a monster season.
It feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah. The stuff is so good. And there are innings, there are times where you go,
he's touching 99.
Yeah.
Like, it's 97 consistently. Touches 99. Wipe out off-speed stuff. Swing and miss.
He's adding, subtracting at times, like that maturity. He knows when you don't always have to throw 99, but it's nice to be able to have that in the back pocket.
Certainly. There you go. Your Nats preview. Rangers tonight. You know who plays for the Rangers, Danny?
Who's that?
Wyatt Langford.
Oh,
He was taken just after the Nats took Dylan Cruz. Langford in college last year at Florida, lost in the College World Series to Cruz and LSU. Just 22 years old, barely played in the minors, hitting 248 with a 652 OPS in the big leagues. Has really struggled, hit his first home run the other night.
Inside the park.
Inside the park home run, yep. But just interesting. Like, the Nats are being patient, and they haven't really had a choice. Cruz has not fared great in the minor leagues. Langford tore it up and had a great spring. But it's not like he, you see this with Jackson Holliday, like when you get there, you don't necessarily
dominate from the first minute.
Tear baseball apart. So just be interesting to watch him as Cruz continues to put it together in Double A. Four, Darris and Ryan behind the scenes. G&D saying so long. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Hoping to be joined by Brian McClellan at 3. And Ben Sinnott will stop by at 4:30 on The Fan.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.